Good morning. It's good to have everybody here this morning. Welcome to Wiley Methodist Church. Welcome to our online live stream community. So here we're going to do, everybody that's in the sanctuary here, see the little white thing above the little black thing back there? Look at that. Everybody turn, wave to our live stream audience. Oh, that was weak. That was really weak. But that's okay. We'll work on it. Glad that everybody is here. We're going to continue worship this morning with our offering. So as we've been doing for several weeks now, we won't pass the plates. We've got plates up here along the altar rail and on the altar that you can come. I know many of you give online, and for our online community, you can go to our website or our app and go to the givings page. Just one quick thing, if you give online and you give through your checking account, more of the money goes to the church. Credit cards, you know, they charge a little fee there, just kind of a side note. So let's pray and we'll receive the morning offering. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the gifts that you have so graciously given us. We are a blessed people. And Father, I know there's also people right now that are struggling financially with jobs and so forth. And Father, we want to be a vessel of hope and healing as a church. We want to be your hands and feet to a hurting world. Bless these gifts, bless these givers, and may your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. You may come if you feel so led. may be seated. Invite the children to come and join Miss Teresa up front for the children's message.
This morning. Welcome. Today, I want to talk about being in the ocean. Is the ocean tiny or big? Big. It's huge, gigantic. And so I got to thinking, if I was on a boat, I'd want to stay on the boat. But what if I fell off the boat? What if I, maybe, I'd hit, it is, but if I fell out, I'd be in the water. I'm thinking the captain of this boat hopefully would stop, right? Hopefully they'd stop. And then I want this captain to save me, right? But I got to thinking about this captain. Would he say to me, wait, what have you done in your life? Have you been a good person in your life for me to save you? Have you minded mommy and daddy? Have you been kind to other people? What have you done so that I should throw this life jacket or out to you or send one of the lifeboats out to you? Do you think the captain would say that to you? No. Do you think he'd say to you, listen, tell you what, you swim back to the boat, and if you can get halfway up the boat, I'll help you the rest of the way? Would he say that to you? No. Well, that makes me think of grace. Grace is a word we use because God saves us. And he does not ask us to do anything before he saves us. He does not ask us to do so much before he'll save us. He doesn't say, if you read your Bible and you are nice to your brother and sister, then you're saved. There's nothing added on. He just, by grace, because he loves you, he saves you. Just because. No other reason. He doesn't ask you anything except to ask him to be saved. And that's it. Let me read out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And that is how we are saved, simply because God loves us, and it's by his grace. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to save us from our sins. Thank you for throwing us the life preserver and saving our eternal lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. Brent looks like Ollie's in fine form this morning. Just wanted to point that out. He's a good kid. Good morning, online community. Looks like our stream is clicking along well this morning. I hope you're enjoying your experience in your homes. Welcome, church family. If you want to register your attendance, you can go ahead and do that through the app. And if you're visiting with us and would like to leave us a record of your visit and give us some more information, you can do that through the app also. And if you do not have the app downloaded, you can go to your app store and do a search for Wiley Methodist Abilene, and you'll get a hit on that. Family camp went live yesterday. There's a set of videos online that walks families through that experience. And there's also some supplies, some materials that would need to be picked up at the church to go along with that experience. And so if you need supplies to go through the camp, then get with Carlene after the service. She will be in the atrium, and she can connect with you, anybody online that wants to participate in that. She can connect with you anytime during the week, so just reach out to the church office. Our swim and picnic party is scheduled for the 16th of August. We have Camp Butman from 2 to 7 p.m. that day. We have awesome events like the rock climbing. Man, I'm all in for the rock climbing. The zip line's not available for us, and which is it's okay with me. Slip and slide will be available. The pool will be available. We'll be serving hamburgers and hot dogs about 5 p.m. that day. And if you're uncomfortable eating community food, we respect that. Just ask you to bring your own meal with you. So that's the 16th of August. Looking forward to that. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. Great creed that's been uniting believers' hearts for centuries. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Remind you that that word Catholic, small c, in that creed means universal. There is a mid-high camp taking place this week at Camp Butman, and Brent Aiken is leading that camp, and he said there's about 100 kids and 24 or 25 leaders, counselors. So be sure to lift up that that camp this week. And Brent, how many from our church, how many youth from our church? Eight kids, six adults. So that's good. So pray for that effort this week. And I was reminded this week, or Jeff and I was reminded this week by a member of our congregation that his school is starting soon, and we don't know what that might look like yet. And I'm sure that that's causing some angst and some anxiety and maybe frustration with parents, students, and teachers as well. So let's start praying about that. Whatever that might look like, let's pray into that and ask for the Lord to move. So this morning, I want to share a couple of scriptures as we pray, and I want to pray for the camp experience this week, for the school starting back, and then just what's going on in our culture. I'm going to read out of Philippians 4, 6 through 9. This is from the English Standard Version. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I forget that sometimes, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You know, I just turned the news off one day this last week. And I can't tell you how much better my day went. I appreciate what they do. I really don't need people telling me how bad things are. I'm not a smart man, but I can kind of figure that out for myself. And I want to encourage you, man, if you're struggling with all that's going on, just shut the news off for a day. And focus on the things that are honorable, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that's commendable. Anything that's excellent or worthy of praise, think of these things. I want to encourage you maybe to try that this week. And plus, I've reduced my time watching the news as well, trying to press into the Lord. What you love and received and heard from me and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. I think that's what all of us need in this time. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. All the governing authorities have to bow down to Jesus. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. My goodness, we need peace. So let's pray. Lord, I lift up the Mid-High Camp to you this week. And Father, first of all, I pray, God, for protection from the virus as they meet. Lord, I just ask, God, for just supernatural health for everybody that walks through those doors. God, I know that you want those kids, those Mid-High young men, Mid-High young women to encounter you in your fullness. And so, Lord, things like illness will take away from that experience, God. So would you free them up to experience you in fullness this week? And, Lord, I lift up those who are leading, those who are counselors. God, I pray for supernatural wisdom for them as they speak into the lives of these young men and young women. So, Lord, just bless that effort. Bless Camp Butner, God, as they continue providing services through the summer. And, Lord, as we're gearing up to the start of a new school year, God, I just pray for peace for parents. I pray for peace for teachers. I pray for peace, God, for the students, Lord. And I pray for wisdom for those who are making this decision as to what school will look like. Lord, I just pray against anxiety, God, that parents may be having about income being reduced because they're staying home with their children. God, just move in power, Lord. And Lord, I just ask again, God, that you just remove this virus, Lord. Every knee will bow to you. This virus doesn't have a knee, but it has to bow to you. Lord, you have authority over it. So, God, I just ask in the strong name of Jesus that you eradicate COVID-19 from the face of the earth for your glory. For your glory. Lord, I pray, God, that our country will return to you, Father. I pray against the racial issues of our day. And, Lord, it doesn't matter how many monuments or statues we remove. Lord, if a heart's not changed, that issue is still going to exist among us. So, God, convict hearts. It's your kindness, God, that leads us to repentance. Would you kindly convict our nation of that issue for your glory? Lord, I ask for protection for our police department, our police officers, those who serve our communities. God, I pray for favor to rest on them. Lord, I pray that people look to them as for what they really are, servants. Serve to protect, serve to defend. Lord, just bless our police officers. I pray encouragement for them across our nation. And Lord, be with EMS and healthcare workers, God. Just thank you for their service. God, just let them know that they're appreciated. And Lord, most of all, let them know that they're loved by you. Oh, Father, if we would focus on you, press into you. God, we could see more clearly. Lord, we could think more clearly. We could relate to people the way Jesus would desire for us to relate to people. So help us this day, Holy Spirit. Help us this week, Holy Spirit, to make good decisions in regard to the things that we think about. We have been given the precious gift of the mind of Christ. We can do this. We can do this. We thank you for our love. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your peace, your grace, and your mercy. Oh, Lord, just bless us this day so we can be a blessing to others. And we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Up in the parking lot Century Theater. Behind Richmond, y'all know where that is, the big theater. So I'm pulling up doing my stuff, and I hadn't been to that parking lot since we quit seeing movies. And I was really surprised that they just let it go. There's weeds are piss tall coming up through cracks in the pavement. And the windows in the front are dirty. Everything's locked. And nobody's taking care of that place that I can tell. And it didn't really strike me then, but I kept thinking about that. And what I thought of was that, you know, I think that can be what the inside of us can look like. If we neglect to go to that prayer closet, and if we neglect to read the scripture, if we stop going to church, if we stop trying to connect. And I think Satan wants to use all of these distractions. So that's what our hearts look like. Our hearts look like we just haven't been there. Our hearts look like Jesus hasn't been there. But I don't want to be depressing, because I want to tell you that are watching online and you that are in this room, you're not doing that. Okay? You're taking care of your heart. You're taking care of your spirit. You're getting those weeds pulled out. Watering those flowers, that grass. Dusting the things that need to be, and cleaning the things that need to be done. Okay? So you're here. You're here. And as we sing these next few songs, we'll just let those words that you're singing speak to your heart. Sometimes it's hard to concentrate. Sometimes I'm laying in bed and I just have to listen to the fan, because I hear all these voices and things that's happened during the day, and I just concentrate on the fan, you know. But silence all those things and think about the words that are coming out of your mouth. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. anything that was done in the past is in the past. And that includes yesterday. Each day is new. Every day is a new day with Him. So, Father God, we pick up again. We pick up again and we go with You.
Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Those pretty good words, aren't they? Well, welcome again to worship with us here at Wiley Methodist. We're glad you're here. Glad for our online community that's viewing as well. If you are a guest this morning, we are glad that you're here. We're especially glad that you're here. And, you know, I was thinking about that word guest, and you know, we welcome people into our home as guests, but we hope that you'll become more than a guest. We hope that you will become part of our family. So we just welcome you. At the end of the service, I will be out at this end of the foyer. Would love to meet you if you are newer to our church. I would love to get to know you and for you to get to know me. You know, it's one of the things that this virus has done. I normally have about every 2 or 3 months, I have what I call a discovery class where people can come and we can get to know one another. And we haven't been able to do that for a few months, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to resume that in the fall. But in the meantime, try to keep connected the best we can. So if you turn with me to Psalm chapter 13. Psalm chapter 13. Beginning in verse 1. This psalm is attributed to David, King David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? That's actually two questions he's asking. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Anybody ever had a day or a week like that? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trusted in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We know that the promise that you have given us is if two or three or more are gathered in your name, you will be there with them. And Father, we trust that your Spirit is with us. So may your Spirit speak to us in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you got my email this week, I put in the little blurb about the sermon this definition I looked up of trust. And what I like this definition, a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. You remember a game I used to play when I was in youth? You'd stand there, and he'd have two people stand behind you, and you'd invite them to fall back into your arms, and there was this trust level that you had to have in those two people. A couple of things came to my mind as I'm thinking about this word trust. I remember, how many of you remember the old Peanuts comic strip? You remember Lucy and Charlie Brown in the football? Anybody remember that? Lucy was not very trustworthy. She was always coaxing Charlie Brown to kick the football, and every time she pulled it out from under him, Lucy was not very trustworthy. I remember when our girls were little and we would go to the swimming pool, and they had a diving board, and the girls were still little, and they were still trying to get the courage, you know. They started off, you know, kind of jumping off the side of the pool, and then I remember they thought they needed to jump off the diving board, and both of them would get to the end of the board and kind of like, I don't think so, and they'd walk back. And I remember finally Dad swam out to the end of the diving board. And I would be at the end of the diving board treading water, and I would say, jump. Daddy's right here. Jump. And that was how both of the girls would finally got the courage to jump off that diving board. Today's sermon is trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Last week we sang a song, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." That stirred me last week, Trevor, and I began to research a little bit more about that song. I wanted to know the circumstances that it came from. There was a missionary. Her name was Louisa Steed, and in 1882 she wrote that song. But the circumstances behind the writing of that song was significant. She and her, she had married, and she had a 4-year-old daughter, and one day they were at the beach, and they're having just a great time swimming, and they heard the cries of a little boy out in the water that was struggling. Her husband swam out to rescue the boy and drowned himself. A short time later, Louisa Steed wrote, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. The circumstances behind the writing of those words bring it to life, don't it? I don't know if that's not very good English, is it? Don't it? that's West Texas English. But it brings that song to life to know that she had suffered a tragic loss, the loss of her husband. They're out just enjoying the day. And the husband doesn't come home. You hear that same grief, that same lament from David in this psalm, the first few verses. How long? He says that 4 times. How long, Lord? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Is anybody relating yet to these last several months, perhaps? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And yet something shifts from this lament, this grief, this agonizing grief that David is expressing. Something shifts in verse 5. The first point I want to make today as we look at this trusting in Jesus. When trials come, and I think we qualify. I think our culture, I think we qualify. This has been a trial. When trials come, I will trust in God's character. I will trust in his character. That's what that means is I will trust in who he is. Who he is. Verse 5, I will trust. He said how long on all these different items, and he says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. David knew that God loved him. In the midst of this struggle, whatever he's going through, He knew that he loved him. And I've had people, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. You don't have to wonder if God loves you. You don't have to wonder, because he took two nails in his hands and a nail in his feet, and he took suffering for us to prove his love. As I think about this trust, now I've told this story before too, but I really feel like I'm supposed to kind of say it again today. When I was transitioning from the computer field into the ministry, this was 20 plus years ago, and things were not going as I thought, and I really, and financially, and all, in just all sorts of ways, we were struggling, and I remember I don't know that I had ever fasted before, but I realized that I felt like the Lord was saying to me that he wanted me to fast, and so I just determined I was going to fast until I heard from God, and it went a while, and I like to eat, but it went a while. And I was never hungry for several days. I was never hungry, and I was rocking along until one day I went home, and y'all know the story. My wife had made some Mexican food for lunch, and there was some chips and salsa. Come on now. Is there anything better in the world to eat than chips and salsa? And I had lunch with people. I'd gone out to eat with them and had a glass of tea, and I never once, lusted for their meal. But man, I was wanting me some chips and salsa. So I went in the bedroom and I said, Lord, I want me some chips and salsa. I know I said that I wasn't going to eat until I heard from you, and I haven't heard a word, or you're awful quiet, but I just need to hear from you or take this hunger from me. And I cracked open the word, and it just, the pages just fell to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight, and he will bring nourishment to your bones. And I was waiting. I was waiting for the Lord to, to kind of appear in the sky and go, we want you to move to Bulgaria or something like that. That's what I was waiting for, something. But the message I got was, trust me. Trust me. I got this. In the Psalm 56, it says, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can the coronavirus do to me? No, it doesn't say that. It says, what can man do to me? There's nothing that we have to fear, because God loves us. He's trustworthy. We can trust in his character, who he is, and how he has demonstrated who he is in his great love for us on the cross. Secondly, when trials come, not only will I trust in God's character, but I'll trust in his provision. As I just said, what he's done for me, I'll trust in his provision. Verse 5, the second half of that, I'll trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. What he has done for us. It's not just, God is not just giving us lip service. I love you. No, he's demonstrated it. He's given us his salvation. Now, and also in Psalms 20, I love this passage. It kind of goes way back. This kind of stuck with me. But it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Now, in biblical days, if you had chariots and horses, if you had armies full of chariots and horses, you were you were the man. You could do whatever you wanted to do if you had enough chariots and enough horses. But we, the psalmist says, trust in the name of our Lord, the Lord our God. So if we bring that up to today, in today's time, horses and chariots don't impress us too much nowadays. But we put our trust in all sorts of things besides the Lord, don't we? Some, maybe today that psalmist might write it this way. Some trust in money. Some trust in their status. Some trust in health. Some trust in relationships that we've built. Some trust in our politicians, although I don't know of too many that trust in our politicians. There's probably a couple of them out there. Some trust in popularity, some in our stuff, how much stuff we've accumulated, what little car we are driving, some in the comforts of our life. I got to admit, I do like air conditioning. I got to admit. So we put our trust in all sorts of things, but the psalmist says, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Because here's the deal. All those other things, Scripture tells us, are but sinking sand. They all can fail us. All of it. There's nothing that is steadfast except God himself. So we trust in his character. We trust in his provision, who he is, what he's done for us. And then that leads to, when trials come, I will declare God's praises. Now, and I've said this the last several weeks, but I think it's important for us to hear that the times that we are in, it's time for the church to step up. It's time for us. And these little things that seem maybe insignificant, but how we talk on social media. Uh-oh. Is this working? How do we conduct ourselves in social media? How do we talk about things? How do we, you know, you got, I don't know, you got your mask people and you got your non-mask people. And it's so easy to think one's right and the other's wrong, no matter which people we associate with. We got, this is all just a bunch of craziness. The government's overreacting. And we got others, man, I mean, if you step out of your house, you know, lightning's going to strike you. So, I mean, we got people, all sorts of things. But how do we talk about this? How do we speak to people about this? Are we a people of praises? The character of God and the provision of God, does it lead us to praising God? Do people see that in us? Are we a people of hope? And I read a little deal the other day. It said, instead of dope dealers, we're hope dealers. I liked that. We're hope dealers. Something shifted in David. He was struggling. He was struggling. How long, Lord? How long? Anybody ever thought about how long do we have to wear these goofy masks? How long do I have to stay in my home? How long do I have to shop for my mother-in-law and my mother's groceries? Yeah. I'm making fun of y'all. How long is this stuff going to keep going? How long do I have to question whether we're going to school or not? I think we're there with the how long question. Something shifted in David. His lament turned to trust. And his trust turned to praise. Do we see it? Anybody convicted? You know, Isaiah says it this way. And these are the words that Jesus quoted as he launched his ministry on this earth. He quoted from Isaiah 61, and it says, and I've condensed this a little bit, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me," Jesus said. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Man, anybody, and it's not just with the COVID stuff and the racial stuff, but I mean, just life throws stuff at us, doesn't it? Anybody ever been brokenhearted? Perhaps you're brokenhearted today. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. That's the challenge to us as the church. That's the challenge to me as one of God's people. How do you bury a husband that was tragically drowned, and a short time later, write the song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." How do you do that? Because she must have truly trusted in Jesus in all circumstances. When trials come, I will trust in God's character, I will trust in His provision, and I will declare His praises. I hope you're with me. That's a challenge before us. If you'll just bow your head, I invite the praise team to come on back up. Father, forgive me when I fail to trust you. Forgive me when I let the circumstances of life make me a whiny hiney instead of a praiser. Father, we don't want to whine, we want to shine. Let's be your light to this world. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for me and each person in the sound of my voice. You died for each one of us. You are trustworthy. And God, I trust I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid of what is happening now or what the future holds. And Father, I cry out that great hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Make us be a people of trust because you are trustworthy. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand if you're able as we close. The altar rail is open. It's okay, guys. It's okay to come to the altar, and it's okay not to come to the altar, but it's there for us. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, please come and see me. Let's talk about that, because he loves you and he knows you. Trevor.
Things that we know.
just singing about how we love Jesus. But I want to add to that, He loves you. He loves us first. He loves us best. He loves us last. We can trust Him. Let's go and walk it out, church. Let's go and walk out that trust. Be blessed. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Jesus, we love you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus Himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.